Expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Summer Mice.
Woo! Yeah. And we're off.
No comment.
Yeah, it's Sunday. Once again, June 5th, 2022.
Scary.
Yeah, June. Man, I can't believe it's June already. My name is Marquette. Once again, it's Sovereign Radio, home of the University of Hard Knocks with a degree in results. And you can go to mountaintopmedia.com if you want to catch our podcast. I'm here in the great state of Jefferson with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting of all of industry and movable objects.
Wow, really?
Well, I was imitating Joe Biden.
Oh, thanks. Okie dokie.
Well,
good morning.
Just to say, I'm imitating Joe Biden.
You gotta do it.
What a creepy dude. That is so freaking creepy. Wow. All right. And the kid who rocks around the clock faster than a speeding internet connection. More power than a high speed download.
No!
A 10th degree black belt in RAM.
Good morning, comma four. Yes, and my fellow Jefferson.
And the guardian of the magic button of silence, the librarian of bumper, the time bandit of breaks, key weaponry board specialist, and producer extraordinaire, Travis!
Yeah.
Just open the beer. I mean, going down.
He's getting drunk in there in the production room. Wow. So here we are, again, once again. Wow. You know, I wasn't sure I wanted to come in this morning.
No, really? That feeling was mutual.
And what were you guys doing last night?
I'm pretty sure that they didn't really want me to come in this morning. All right, well, let's get started. Where should we start?
Get the party started, as a friend of mine says.
So, well, let's see. We got Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday's a very important day.
June 7th.
You know, because we've got six positions, if you want to say it that way, that we got people running in that could make a huge difference in our county.
Yeah, it's an interesting primary with everything that's going on. You know, you've got Eric Jensen for district attorney, Brian Caples, superintendent of schools, Kevin Cry, district one supervisor, Chris Kellstrom,
district five,
and Bob Holsinger, our county clerk, running against all of the incumbents, you know, and it's just an interesting race, and these are all going to be decided in the primaries, and
No, except one. Only one could go on to another election, and that would be Chris.
Oh, well, is that true?
I believe so, that they will all be decided on Tuesday, except for him. He could go to the next election.
Well, I'm not sure that is that correct? Because who would he be running against in the next election? He would be running against no, I don't think so because Les Baugh's that district and Les Baugh's retiring.
Right.
Yeah. So I think this is it for him too.
Well, but you got Baring.
No, but that's who he's running against right now.
And Chris, and you got Colt Roberts. You've got several of them.
Yeah, but
in
that's
there.
All in the primary. The primary is going to.
He could end up going to the general election. Yes, he could.
I don't think you're right, but maybe somebody can clarify this.
Hey, Chris, give us a call.
Yeah, I don't think you're right. But with that said,
Green and Sheriff.
There's Green and Sheriff. That's Green and Sheriff. That's Green. Mike Johnson and Sheriff and
Green for Green, Sheriff.
John Green. Good grief! What a morning. So we've got all this stuff going on, you know, and these local elections right now that are coming up are very important to decide which direction the county
and
is going to be headed.
I'll take that back. Both supervisors could go to November too. Districts 1 and 5.
Well, that's why it didn't make sense to me to begin with, because how would Cry? I don't know. I'm not sure how that's working, because I think you're wrong. But if I'm wrong,
somebody call in
somebody
and clarify
me, because
it. But
I'm
pretty
sure
they could go to November. Yeah, they could go to the November ballot.
I don't think so. I think it's 5 out of 6 is what I heard, but. We'll see. Somebody's calling in,
hey.
So you know maybe they can clarify this for us. But I'm just looking at the thing. It says, "Did you know that the primary on Tuesday will decide 5 of the local 6 races?" And I think that what would be the 6th race? Have we got a caller?
Hey, are you guys there?
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Yeah. So, Mark, you have to get 50% plus one vote to be over in June. So the other guys only have 2 people in their races. So those 4 will be, for sure that night, there will be somebody with a majority of the vote over 50%.
Right.
My race is 5 people, so it's theoretically possible.
I see. Oh, okay. I got it. I thought.
And Kimberly Vollmer's dropped out.
So that's only them. It's only them too. So it's going to be winner take all then, I would assume.
Correct. Well, it would be possible for Kevin's race to also go until June.
November.
Less of a chance of that happening, but yeah.
Okay, I get it.
I have to go until June.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you called in to clarify this.
That's why I said, call in, Chris.
If you've got anything else to add, now's a good time to do a little spot because we got Tuesday coming up.
I'm sorry. I said June. I meant November. Hopefully, we don't have to go till November, but if we do, we do. So.
Right.
It is what it is.
I think it's a little bit of wishful thinking on our part too, because you know we're kind of getting a little bit vote season, candidate season, election season fatigue here a little bit.
I get it, and it'll only be worse in November, because in November now you'll have the governor and the senators and the state assembly and everybody else in the airwaves. So. Yeah, I'm with you. I hope it doesn't have to go till November myself, but we'll find out Tuesday. Yeah.
It would be nice to have a decision so we could move on to the other business that's at hand.
Absolutely. Well, get out and vote.
All right. Thanks,
Chris. And what made me say that was, you know, I was reading an article. What is that, an epoch, whatever you call
Epic.
That? Epic. However you want to say it. It's starting to become a trend across the nation that people are realizing that they have to work at the county level.
Right.
And there's 7 positions that are most important.
Right.
And right now we've got 6 that we're involved in.
Well,
and what a difference it can make in taking stuff back in your county and in your community.
I think that you're spot on, and this is happening across the country because the American public is waking up to the fact that if they want to wrest control from the establishment per se, that they're going to have to get involved, and they're going to have to start running candidates that are pro-Constitution, that are for our rights, that are anti-big government, you know, not anti-government, but anti-big government, anti-out-of-control government. So that's the problem, and that's the problem across the board. It's like all these incumbents. You know, we've been hearing this, we don't want our elections affected by, outside the state, millionaire guy who's controlling our local elections. And I'm like, but you're okay with a local billionaire controlling the elections with an out-of-county Indian tribe that has nothing to do with anything here.
Yeah. That's okay, because we're doing it.
So I guess it depends on where you live. So if Reverge and Selmo moved back here, his money would be okay then, right?
Yeah, sure. No.
As opposed to Sierra Pacific and...
They'll never like Reverge, no matter what happens.
Well, that's the real deal. This is all about politics.
They just don't like him, yeah.
You know, what they want is everybody else to be poor, so they can't put up a campaign or put together candidates that are going to have a chance of winning. That's the real deal. So with that said, let's go on to your story.
Well,
you know,
we do that, remember Pontus is going over to Sierra Pacific after.
No.
Yeah, imagine that. Just saying.
Yeah, they're not controlling anything in the good old boy county. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's okay for Sierra Pacific, and, you know, I guess who owns Sierra Pacific? I think is that Red Emerson that owns
he's
most
involved
of them?
In that, yeah, there's
somewhere,
a couple other guys,
yeah, I guess that's okay, though.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about what you brought up this morning. I mean, it kind of went over my head. I heard this on the radio the other day with when Carl Bott was doing the interview with Stephanie Bridges.
With Stephanie Bridges, and she stated that they had proof, they had pictures of the Liberty Committee at a filming of Eric Jensen's commercial. She's a liar. Let me repeat that. A liar. Because if you got a picture of that, please produce it.
Not only that, do you even know who is the Liberty Committee?
That too.
Yeah, I do. I know who the Liberty Committee.
Yeah.
I do.
I know pretty well who all's involved in that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And I'm pretty sure you didn't get a picture of them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there wasn't a date set and the Liberty Committee was there and they were rolling the cameras. Yeah.
So all I have to say is, liar!
Yeah.
You know, and this is typical of what these guys do. Of the guys that are in power, they lie about everything, and if there's nobody to check it, there's nobody to you know, push back, if there's nobody to say, you know, gee, I think you're full of crap, then they get away with it with the general public.
Yeah, I was going to call in on the show, but it was just at that point
where she no longer will take any phone calls. Just a quinky dink.
Yeah, but Stephanie, please produce the picture that you have.
Yeah. Yeah, come on down. Yeah, I'd like to see who is involved in the Liberty Committee.
Yeah, and if they're in the picture, then you photoshopped it, and I'll take you to court any day of the week on that one.
Yep. All right. So, talking about liars,
which layer are we on now?
I'm going to hook my computer up here.
Are we talking at federal level, or are we still on county?
Let's jump up to the federal liar.
The biggest liar in the room?
Well, I'm not sure if he's the biggest liar in the room, depending on whether you're in Davos or Washington, D.C., because if you're in Washington, D.C. or Davos, I mean, I'm pretty sure that if they were giving out trophies, man, they would have a hard time. This is our commander in chief, and this is the other day, and are we ready to go in there, Travis? All right, cool. This is what Joe Biden said the other day. It's only about 15 seconds, but it illustrates stuff.
Since I took office, families are carrying less debt. Their average savings are up. A recent survey from the Federal Reserve found that more Americans feel financially comfortable than any time since the survey began in 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you unpack that? I mean, that is we're doing better out there economically, everybody.
You have more money in your savings account.
You're in less debt. I guess there's no debt when you're homeless out on the streets because that's okay.
You own nothing and you like it.
Yeah, you'll get to eat grass and like it, you know.
No, we are implementing the bugs plan. You need to get your protein from your bugs.
You know, with the haircut, you kind of starting to look a little like Klaus.
Thank you.
Oh, that's scary. It kind of does. Ooh.
Ooh, I'm just trying to blend in. Yeah. There are no Jews here in the basement or in the attic.
Oh boy, watch it. Well, you know, his Dr. Evil, when we did a podcast on Dr. Evil a little bit last week, and he is Jewish, which is kind of coincidental, and I'm not going after Jews here as much as I'm saying.
Isn't that kind of weird?
It's kind of interesting that
that's really weird.
Because Klaus was a Nazi.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't that like really bizarre?
Yeah, so the Third Reich kind of Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And now his second in command is a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
He went to Hebrew University. You know, Jew-U.
Wow.
I'm not going there.
No.
Just saying.
But that even tells you how more twisted these individuals are.
I mean, how do you fathom that? I mean, I don't know. Just crazy stuff. So, but I brought that clip up to illustrate what a load of bull crap.
Well, yeah, did you hear, I don't know if it's on that one that he's talking about jobs, how we have more jobs right now than we had in 20?
Well, because what they do is they go, oh, okay, we have more jobs now then because we had a pandemic where we closed down, you know, all of the businesses that we didn't give an okay to that weren't considered, you know, essential. And everybody else got their doors shut or got attacked or had to go underground. And so after the, you know, that's all over. Now we're in an election year and all these people are trying to come back to work and the unemployment's running out. And, and we're so much better off with gas prices that, you know what, 7-something a gallon now and heading to 10?
Yeah, there was some place, I think it was Mendocino this morning, it was like 9.84.
Wow. Hey,
yeah,
everything's great. Hey, but you all got your stimulus checks, right? Because you got your bribe. You got bribed to vote again for Joe Biden, and you got your advanced child tax credits, which, by the way, has turned into the biggest freaking debacle from a tax standpoint ever. You know,
it's a daily thing. At least 3 or 4 a day we have to deal with on that.
Yeah, because did you know that if you get paid the advanced child tax credit and you don't tell anybody that they dock your refund, and same on the stimulus. If you say, well, I didn't get a stimulus check and file a return and you did, they take it out of your expected refund and nobody knows what's going on. Now nobody knows why is my income tax return shorted? What's going on? Why do I owe all of a sudden when I thought I was getting a refund?
Yeah. And then they send out these nice letters, the state of California mostly, that wants you to verify who you are before we give you your money.
So you want your paycheck, do you?
And people are all freaked out. We've got some people that get their refunds within a timely manner, and some it's months later.
But we're doing so much better now. I'm feeling so much better.
Everything's much better. Did we have somebody on the line, Travis?
No, I was just going to say that my tax preparer was happy that I didn't get any of those checks.
Because
you got none of them? Like, no. She goes, oh, this makes it easier. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, because we had to fill out new forms. Yeah. It was just stupid. And then some people go, I got one the other day. Well,
I think so.
I didn't get $7,000. Yes, you did. I thought it was only 35, and I said, well, go look back in your checking account. Oh, damn, I did get $7,000. How screwed up is that when you don't even know that you got $3,500 more dollars than you got?
It's just numbers nowadays. It's not cash anymore.
It doesn't matter anyway. It's all just pieces of little paper that you just put things on and you stamp them. And it costs you as much to make a dollar as it does to make a $10,000 bill, you know. So Biden's just there doing the cranking of the printing presses. And it's not even printing presses anymore.
It's digital.
They're just typing on the computer. And so that's not devaluating the currency. And giving out money to everybody and then shutting down all the jobs is not going to cause inflation, right?
Right. And what's funny about those checks, a lot of people, what do you mean I have to put that on my tax return?
Yeah.
You mean I got to call that income?
Hey, what? Joe's here for you, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe.
Speaking of those checks, I saw a funny video of a lady saying, you know, your gas prices are so high right now. Biden wants that money back he gave you last year.
Yeah.
On those stimulus checks.
Because this is all for our own good, you do understand.
Yeah.
And the economy's doing better. Everything's great. I mean, you know, nothing to see here. Okay, I got to play this one. Okay, so then here's MSNBC, and this is Tiffany DeCrosse. And, I mean, talk about these people gaslighting everybody. And listen, I'm not a big fan of Republicans either, you know, especially after this freaking vote on the $40 billion to Ukraine
and all this crap. Yeah.
But they're gaslighting everybody in the media. Okay, so the title of this is Republicans Are Trying to Cheat in the Midterms.
I'm sorry.
They know their policies are trash. Wait a minute. Your policies have been the ones that we've been following for the last 2 years. What are you talking about?
And what did happen a couple of years ago with cheating?
Oh, yeah, but you can't challenge elections because, good grief, right. I mean, that would be terrible. Because then we got more on that too. They got the Georgia thing coming up.
Yep.
Oh, they found out the Dominion vote. There's an interesting story on the Dominion voting machines and how it, they hand counted it. You know,
and just, it came out differently.
It came
than
out
the
like 2,800 off,
yeah.
Which was the difference in the one person winning in the primary and the other one not.
Yes.
In this particular, it's DeKalb County in Georgia, and nothing to see here. But here we go again. You know, it's the Republicans' policy. Anybody that listens to MSNB, LSD, LQTB Plus is an idiot, in my opinion, because it's complete disinformation. And if you're listening to Fox and you don't have skepticism, you're an idiot. Because it's the same thing. Mainstream media. It's funny how they didn't talk on Fox about the 2,000 mules. It's funny how they don't bring any of this stuff up either. They pander to their bases, both sides, but they don't bring up any of the important stuff.
Well, of course not.
Like, oh, I don't know, like a global reset, you know, or maybe like, Klaus Schwab and Dr. Evil, you know? sorry.
I mean, it's kind of sad because it's harder and harder to laugh at it anymore, yeah. Considering just how much they come out and say these things just out in the open, just out and out. This last week, they had a meeting once again at Davos where all these people came together, and they're talking about how we need to suppress the freedom of speech and how we need to have a completely new digital contract between individuals.
Not to mention that they want to control you inside and out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's already...
Yes, with the little chip in the computer.
Yeah, you know, remember the little pill that Alice in Wonderland took? let's play this. This is, again, this is MMS LSD, Tiffany DeCrost. Let me see if I can get it to play.
And as usual, we have a lot to cover this morning, including the January 6th committee's primetime hearings that are coming up next week. And, of course, that indictment of former Trump advisor Peter Navarro, who messed around and found out. He's been indicted on contempt of Congress charges for refusing to cooperate with the committee. But we've got to talk about the latest danger to democracy, and that comes from the bombshell new reporting from Politico, detailing just how deep the Republican plot goes when it comes to trying to subvert the midterms this November and, of course, the general election in 2024. Now, according to the recordings of Republican Party operatives, this was obtained by Politico, their plan includes a multi-pronged strategy. First, recruiting hyper-partisan volunteer poll watchers to challenge voters on a...
Hyper-partisan?
What is that? What is the definition of that? What is that?
Yeah, let's keep going. It's just like,
you drank too much coffee or what?
Yeah, they're hyperactive. voter guys, you know, not completely unlike the guys that were in the Philadelphia election a few years back, the Black Panther guys out there in their black leather coats with billy sticks, you know, kind of warding off all of the white voters.
They were just protecting people.
Yeah, they were just protecting it. But that didn't really count back then because
you can't get prosecuted
anyway from anybody in D.C., that whole deal there. So... But it's just the one-way street is absolutely amazing. They're talking about January 6th. You know, we just lost the Sussman case. You know where all of these court cases are all being over, you know, thrown out or going after the opposition conservatives? It's all in D.C. Have you ever noticed how they're all in D.C., that they own the courts in D.C., they own the juries in D.C., because they pick and select who they want on the juries, and then, you know, you're all the January 6th thing's fine, all in D.C., but nobody gets prosecuted anyplace else in the country? Because they don't own the courts in D.C., do they?
No.
Or the police. Yeah, so let's finish off with the Gaslight Gal here and see what she says.
Election day, then tracking their objections on a special website so that MAGA sympathetic lawmakers can later intervene to try to block the vote counts in heavily Democratic or precincts with mostly people of color. They're doing all of this while crying about voter fraud on the other side. Now the RNC says it's attempting to rectify.
And then she pulls the racist card. Oh, going after people of color. You know,
right.
Do you know that in most of these places, the majority are black people? You know, the minority
is
white people.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning. You know how they've reframed the arguments from You know, it used to be you were prejudiced. You're prejudiced against black people. You're prejudiced against that. Well, prejudice means that to prejudge without any information, right? Well, they had to get rid of the prejudice thing because when you go under racist, there's no defense. When you go, you're a racist, you're a racist simply by the fact that you're white. It doesn't matter what you did, who you did, who you did it with, what your ancestors did, you're racist. Why? Because they had to eliminate the pre-qualification of the fact that you had to prejudge something. You don't have to prejudge anything. So how is it that a black person cannot be racist if they prejudge whites?
Because that's just not the way it works. You don't get it. You've been in the rain too long or something.
It's because I'm white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a white supremacist by nature. It's in my DNA. It doesn't matter. I could have been raised in a mountaintop monk facility in the Himalayas with the Dalai Lama and never even seen anybody except
doesn't
other people
matter.
Of color.
Doesn't matter. Just because we have lighter skin,
it's the
melanin.
It's the mitochondria in my cells that caused me to be racist, right? See, this whole thing is the narrative. They twist the words around. They change the meanings. Kind of like 1984, you know,
but
the old Orwellian
thing. That's
what
they did in the schools. That's what they're teaching the kids in the schools is as long as you're born white, you're born racist right out the gate.
Not to mention the fact that you're not a woman unless I tell you you are or you decide
well,
that you
no,
are.
It
doesn't
no.
matter what you really are.
You can't say that. You're not a biologist.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And with that, we need to go to a break. If you want to call it, the number here is
530-605-4567.
This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself. Gold Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any three vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
Thank you. together in the dark. It's raining in the park, but meantime, sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double ball time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring.
Yeah, we should, you know, do a parody on that, the Sultans of Sling, you know, the mudslinging thing. So let's finish off our clip here.
Yeah, because we've got a caller on the line that wants to give us some updates. So okay. Hang on, Rich.
All right, here we go. This is only about 15, 20 seconds. Or no, about 20 seconds.
An imbalance in favor of Democratic election workers in large urban areas. We hear you. We know what urban means. But don't be fooled. If you've been paying attention, we know this was coming. Everyone who wants to preserve democracy should pay extra close attention, because this plan to subvert the election should not come as a surprise. They've been telling us since they lost in 2020. They know their policies are trash. They know they can't win election on the merits. So it sure looks like at this point they're going to cheat, because they're telling us they're going to cheat to make sure they win instead. The question is, what are we going to do about it? What are federal agencies going to do about it? What are lawmakers going to do about it? Well, I know somebody who definitely has an idea about what we should do about it. And that's...
Well, see, huh. what they're doing is they're setting the stage so that when they lose the House and Senate through overwhelming numbers, because this election looks like it's going to be a landslide in favor of the Republicans, now they can go, look, they cheated! They rigged the election!
Yeah, but isn't that what Trump said back?
Yeah, that's Trump, though. Trump
that they were going to... We would see the worst cheating that we ever saw.
I guess 2,000 Mules. Did anybody watch that?
Honestly, at this point, listening to all the things that they say and all the things that they do, I really cannot help but wonder if they're just priming it up and setting it up for them to try to take it again.
The final solution, like maybe. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Let's go to our caller.
Good morning, Rich. Rich, are you there?
Yeah, can you guys give me about 2 minutes, please?
Sure.
Sure. Just let us know.
Sure, yeah. So I've got another clip that I want to play today on Fauci on the Dan Bongino show.
What happened to him?
Well, he's talking about getting ready to leave. But he
leave where?
Yeah, leave his position of the highest paid government employee in the country.
Yeah,
you know, that one. I guess he's going to retire, and maybe I've heard he may be being offered a job at the Wuhan lab in China. But
Oh, not the bio labs over in Ukraine.
Well, they had a better offer from Wuhan.
Oh. I see.
You know,
the highest bidder.
Yeah, it's kind of like a headhunter thing or something.
Yeah. Ukraine's just a little too hot for him right now.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, it's hard to establish a biolab, you know, when the tanks are rolling in. It makes it really rough to get to lunch and, work on time. Just saying. So.
Okay.
So Dan Bongino had a spot. I'll show it to you. We'll wait for Rich and get the update before we go to the spot. But he's been on fire lately. I highly recommend that we, you tune into Dan Bongino. He's been coming across with some pretty good stuff lately. Yeah,
that's for sure.
We've also got a clip from. I don't know, what other clip do we have? We already played.
But back to that clip that you just. They always say democracy.
I know.
I'm telling you, it just upsets me that they call us a democracy.
I always ask everybody.
This is very dangerous to our democracy.
Well, the founders said it was a mobocracy. They said we don't want a democracy. A pure democracy means that they'll vote out their own rights, because they'll be, fooled into believing the propaganda from the rich and elite, so that they will get rid of all their rights at some point. They said we'll set up a republic if they can keep it. A republic. Oh, well, we still vote. No, it's a republic. You can't vote out your own rights. The majority can't vote out the Bill of Rights, so they can't vote out your gun. They can't pass an executive order to disarm you. And how's that working out? So we got all these shootings going on, and I'm saying that this is advertising to buy more guns because why don't we talk about hardening the schools? Why don't we talk about putting people out there that would actually control the situations, ex-retired policemen or even policemen? You know, I mean, I'm watching Meathead on Twitter, Rob. Well, the Republicans hate children and they don't care about their lives and they just send blood in the streets. But all you want to do is take our guns away, but you don't want to harden the school.
Pull up a video that I sent you. I sent you two videos. You'll see the one about the guns. This right here is the appropriate response to anybody that believes in any type of gun control, period. Non-stop, full stop, period, end of discussion. Because the fact of the matter is, you literally have had people that fought and died for those rights.
My name is Aaron Weiss. I live in the town of Poughkeepsie. I'm a combat veteran of Iraq, and I'm also a law enforcement officer. I attended the Public Safety Committee's last meeting in regards to this resolution, but I didn't say anything because I wanted to hear what everyone else had to say. And I heard some shocking things from some people and some legislators. They said that it took a lot of courage to pass this SAFE Act. Apparently, my definition of courage differs from yours. You see, if it was really so courageous a bill and it took so much courage to pass it, then why was it done in the middle of the night when no one could see it or read it? That's not courage. That's a mafia-style sit-down to divvy up what's good for the bosses. Courage is taking the right and true course of action, not the politically expedient one. And anyone who is proud of this law must also be proud of the Patriot Act, the TSA, imprisoning Japanese citizens in World War II, since all these actions were spurred on by emotional fear and rammed through in the name of public safety. Another issue is the insistence of certain people to stand on the graves of dead children and challenge those that disagree to say it to the parents' faces. Well, I, for one, will pick up that gauntlet. First off, why is dead children your battle cry? You didn't say anything about the hundreds of Chicago children being killed, and for some reason you only scream when it happens to wealthy white ones. And yes, I will say to anyone's face, my right is more important than your dead, because I fought for it firsthand. I washed the blood of my friends out of my Humvee, and I picked up their mangled bodies, and I fought day in and day out. I did more things that you people can't imagine. So yeah, my right trumps your dead. I earned it in blood. I gave up a lot for this country, including my youth, and better men than me gave up a whole lot more, so that all you, myself included, could enjoy the rights that are guaranteed to us in our Constitution and Bill of Rights. And we didn't go through all that to come back home and watch the surrender of what we fought for happen based on the demented actions of a couple madmen. So in closing, I would like to address specifically the legislators we all know who are going to vote against this resolution. I understand you will vote against this resolution based on some misguided sense of the public good. However, as a law enforcement officer, I'm curious to know about your true resolve. Since voting to take away someone's rights is totally different than being asked to enforce it, I want you to consider this. If you support the SAFE Act so wholeheartedly, are you willing to stand with law enforcement members and lead from the front to enforcement? And what I mean by that is if a constituent of yours feels so alienated by this law and the manner in which it was passed that they refuse to comply with it, are you willing to stack up on their front door and go in first? I bet if a clause was in this bill that required you, the elected leadership, our elected leaders, to go in the door first, I bet you would not be so steadfast.
End of discussion.
Well, and, you know, you could add to a lot of that, too. I mean, because the real deal is that disarming the public seems to be priority over protecting the kids. And we've seen this before over and over and again. I mean, they disarmed them in China. They disarmed them in Russia. They disarmed them in, all over the place. In Cuba, take your pick. And as soon as they get disarmed, everybody disarmed. They did it in Cambodia. They did it in North Vietnam. What happens is that now the government is the only one that has guns and the criminals.
And explain to me why we should be disarmed, but they want to send arms over to Ukraine. Just asking.
It's okay for them because, what they should have done was they should have took all the arms they left in Afghanistan because it was okay to arm our
right,
enemy.
No, the Taliban needed those. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
And with that, Rich is ready to go. All right. Rich, what you got for us this morning?
Hello. Hello, everybody. How's my volume?
Good.
So I finished my analysis for the Superior Court Judge Wood, her 16-page ruling on the illegal City of Reading land deal.
Okay.
And there's a couple more bombshells, but and why does this matter, everybody? Because Aaron Reznor, city council person, was involved in this illegal land deal, and she wants to tout her experience as to why she should be a county supervisor? Really? So is that the kind of experience we want? Anyway, so here's where we go.
Here's the bombshells.
So, violations of government codes, violations of streets and highways codes, violations of city policies and procedures, violations of the Brown Act. I mean, can I continue?
Sure.
And all this with 1.4 acre illegal land sale. All of it. Excuse me. So what happens, long story short, the city did not properly declare the land surplus in the proper order prior to putting it out for a land negotiation deal. They violated the streets and highways code because also related to declaring land surplus in the improper sequence. They violated the CEQA, I believe that's California Environmental Quality Act. They violated the CEQA procedures by declaring this little parcel exempt from CEQA when the judge ruling says, no, actually, it was not exempt from CEQA. Let's see, the Brown Act violation. Again, notated in the court's, in the judge's 16-page ruling, but not specifically under the Brown Act. The city has made it a habit, even well before this land deal began roughly in April of 2020, they've made it a habit of improperly doing closed session land negotiations prior to the legally required open and public session before a land negotiation is to take place in closed session. They do this repeatedly. They've done it. They did it last year with the Turtle Bay. We saw how that turned out. And the big issue we've got here. Here's one thing that I found. City Policy 1901, last updated in 2005. It has to do with excess land for the city of Reading. And this is in the first paragraph of that document, that any excess land sales, quote, must maximize the benefit to the taxpayer, that is essential, unquote. So benefit to the taxpayer is essential when the city of Reading is disposing of excess land. So they made $3,000 off of this 0.4 acre parcel. $3,000. Now, there's five ways the city could have disposed of this parcel. So a private land negotiation, which is what they did. They could do a public auction. Ooh, yeah, we're going to get back to that one. They can exchange the land. They can lease the land. They can do a request for proposal for the land. Another thing the city did not do properly, before they access public land, they're supposed to put it out on a legal notice to other public entities and to any developers that might want land for low-income housing development. The city also failed to put out that mandated notice. It's mandated in the law. The city also failed to do that. Yeah, it's adding up quick. So here's my point about this land and why it should have been auctioned. We all know what Wind River wants to do with that land down there. Multi-million dollar development down there, correct?
Yeah.
We also know who does not want that development down there. A billionaire with a B. A billionaire. Can you tell me, everybody, this $3,000 that the city made on this house of 0.4 acres, is that maximizing the benefit to the taxpayers? Now, if it went up to open public auction for that very small piece of land, we would have had a billionaire and a tribe with access to millions and millions of dollars bidding on that little piece of property.
And we're not.
How much do you think we would have got for that? You think we would have got more than $3,000?
Well, there might have been a third party bidding on that as well, Rich. It could have been the Nalaki tribe down at Pascagoula. Thank you, because that's who has been supporting the vote Shasta and all of these incumbent candidates as well. It's not only been Sierra Pacific, but and the billionaire that owns that, and it's also been the Indian tribe down there because they don't want any competition on I-5, and so this could have been bid way up. Who knows how it would have turned out?
So one of my
questions
is. Okay, so the judge said that they did this all illegally. So now what happens to all the people that were involved in this? I mean,
I'll wrap all that up at the end.
Okay.
As far as what's likely to happen.
All right, thank you.
Again, the city policy is maximize the benefits of the taxpayers. So The city of Reading knew that if they had put this up for public auction, that is where they would have maximized the benefit of the taxpayer, right? Anybody disagree? Probably not. So that tells me the city had no interest in the taxpayers, and they only wanted to do a land deal in closed session with a billionaire for quid pro quo. That's what that tells me. And that by itself is egregious, that the city does not have the taxpayers' interest in mind at all.
I totally agree. And then some of those people want to come over and be on the Board of Supervisors and represent the people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, and why are they funding the opposition? Why are they funding the incumbents that seem to be benefiting from their money on these campaigns?
And yeah, absolutely. And on page 9 of this judge's ruling, the judge declared that the city's actions in this land deal were arbitrary and capricious. Those are very key legal terms, and those are not used lightly by any judge in the legal system. If anybody remembers our founding fathers and the principles, arbitrary and capricious is a very key legal term. It is a major violation when that is in any action by a government is arbitrary and capricious.
The opposite of that is equal protection under the law.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
And that's not what we're getting. We're getting selective prosecutions. We're getting anything but equal protection, and that's why the incumbents need to go, and especially the ones that were appointed, because these guys all seem to have somebody seems to have them all in their back pocket. I wonder who it could be.
And then I'm almost done here. So, again, I'm going to call for people to show up at the city council meeting this Tuesday, yes, election day, 6 p.m. at the city council chambers, 777 Cypress Avenue. I expect it to be standing room only, probably overflow out into the parking lot, I really hope. I think there are going to be a lot of upset people. There was a lot of upset people last year with the Turtle Bay fiasco, and I think this is going to be just three times as worse. And I am personally going to be calling for the resignation of the three city council women, Reznor, Winter, Schrader, and the city attorney and the city manager. They violated so many codes and stuff. Can we say malfeasance of office? Yeah. This is more than a misfeasance.
Right.
This is a malfeasance of office. We have multiple code and law violations. So either these people, that means the manager, the attorney, and the council, either they're inept at their jobs and or they're incompetent or they intentionally violated these laws. Either way, none of them deserve to be in that office from this point on. Any disagreement with me?
No.
Any office with that. So now are they going to put the land up for a public auction, or how are they going to, do you know, Rich?
Like, I did speak with a current city council man last week, and I agree with what his assessment is. The land is likely to go back to city ownership. By the way, this little 0.4 acres, it was originally a larger parcel, approximately 2 or 3 acres, and the city intentionally split that parcel specifically for this illegal land sale. So I haven't really dove into that particular part
yet.
But
what it sounds like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it landlocked the casino's access.
Well, that's exactly right. But there's square footage requirements and acreage requirements with regards to declaring public land excess. And when the city, when the acreage and square footage hit a certain threshold, then that triggers other procedures, policies, and laws to go into effect. And I have not finished my research on that matter, but that is likely why the city, and I want to say it was about 2 acres, 2.5 acres originally. I'm going to say that's probably why the city split that parcel down to 0.4 acres prior to this sale, so that they could avoid even further laws, regulations, and et cetera. But that's just opinion. I'll still look into that a little more, but there's so much here, it's not even funny.
Of course, we don't want an out-of-state millionaire, funding any campaigns because he might try to control the county, right?
Yeah.
Look who's controlling the county now.
Yeah.
A billionaire.
So, Yeah. So I'll try to wrap this up. I know we're almost out of the hour, but
yep.
So likely the counsels for both parties are now meeting with the judge to decide, all right, how are we going to repair this situation? And so likely all the attorney's fees, well above the $100,000 originally indemnified, likely well above that will be awarded, and maybe even some damages, right? Attorney's fees and damages. And then the city parcel by itself should go back to city ownership. Now, here's the key, folks. On June 7th, go to the city council meeting. Because the city has already declared that surplus, well, actually, that's probably going to be voided. So that land will probably go back to full sole city ownership. However, since their intent was to declare it surplus, mm-hmm. I'm going to demand that the city council, that they re-declare that land surplus and put it open for public bidding. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, with the, interesting stuff.
We'll see. I'm going to allege a felony. I'm going to repeat this. I'm going to wave a piece of paper in my hand on Tuesday night, and I'm going to allege a felony committed by, unfortunately, former city mayor McElvain, because his signature is on this document, and city attorney DeWalt, because his signature is on this document.
Hey, where's the DA on this?
Cue the crickets. Cue the crickets.
Yeah.
So I will be alleging a felony committed regarding this illegal land deal. So tune in. I will live stream it on Shasta County Citizen Journalist, where I already have two written stories posted on this matter. I will do a third follow-up story with regards to the information I put out today for those that aren't listening today. But
let's submit it to the DA and see what she does.
Yeah, so fireworks and mushrooms clouds coming on Tuesday night, folks.
All right.
Well, thanks Rich.
Thank you. Right, have a good day.
So once again, the citizens are paying for it. They're getting double hammered on this, right?
Well, I mean,
because if they have to pay any fines or whatever.
So where's the DA? Where's the DA on this? Has she even looked at this? I mean, I'm going to hammer on the DA a little bit. So she's lost 4 out of 6 child molesting cases in the last.
But she's only tried one case, right?
Oh, yeah. Staff that lost it. I don't know. And then West Valley hazing. We're talking about the West Valley hazing.
Yeah.
Gee, nothing was happened. Talk to the parents of the kids out there that got hazed. We've got threatening a sitting supervisor with death. That would be our local morons, who everybody knows who I'm talking about, Cujo. I think he wrote another book called The Stand, too.
Let's be honest, too, about the West Valley hazing. That's not hazing.
Well, no, that's sexual assault.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And the fact that nothing has been done on the fact that you had objects that were inserted into the students and that isn't prosecuted, people really need to seriously look into that.
Yeah, and is that going to, send a message that, nothing.
Oh, don't worry, that coach isn't there anymore. That's good enough for them. Okay.
Yeah.
But she really cares about the children. With that, we'll go to Dick. Good morning, Dick.
You got about 3 minutes,
morning.
Nick.
Hey, you know, he was talking about racism earlier.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm a natural-born racist because I'm a white male, and I was born in the Confederate slave state of Texas. So no matter what I do, I'm a natural-born racist, and I can't help it.
You knew that all along, Dick. It's who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, talking about this gun grabbing, the Democrats love these massacres. They jump back on the gun grabbing scheme again. And I don't know why, you know, I got my first, when I graduated from the 8th grade in 1946, my graduation present was a Mossberg 22 bolt action rifle. And when I was in high school, I bought a 12-gauge single-shot shotgun at Montgomery Ward's. And then when I was a senior, when I was 17 years old, I went to Montgomery Ward's in Porterville and bought a lever-action 30-30 deer gun.
With model 94, I'm assuming.
Yeah, model 94. I bought that with a box of shells, and I threw it in, carried it out, and right then there was no restriction on a high school kid buying a gun.
Do you know what the difference was, Dick? And I'll tell you right now. Here's what the difference was between then and now. We observed a moral compact with, you know, ourselves, our God, however you want to put it, that people, lying was wrong, stealing was wrong, cheating was wrong, you know, murdering was wrong. Everybody observed that because people were taught morality as they grew up, and that if we would have a better society across the board if we all observed those moral tenets.
You know, my wife and I, we graduated from a junior college.
We got to go, Dick. We're out of time. Sorry.
Okay. Hey, thanks for letting me on for a few minutes.
All right. You can always call back. Stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio. You've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Authorities still haven't made any arrests in a shooting in Philadelphia last night. Gunfire killing three people and wounding 11 others in one of the city's downtown most popular entertainment districts. Philadelphia Police Inspector D.F. Pace says officers were on foot patrol in the area when they heard multiple gunshots and then witnessed several suspects firing into a large crowd just before midnight. Ramping up tensions in Asia.
North Korea launched 8 ballistic missiles over a 35-minute period Sunday, the 18th such test conducted by Pyongyang this year, and it came one day after South Korea conducted a naval drill with the aircraft carrier USS Ronald Reagan in the Philippine Sea. U.S. and South Korean officials say it's possible Kim Jong-un is planning his first nuclear missile test since 2017 in the near future. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
We expect official confirmation this week of what most of us already know. Inflation is just going up.
This week's economic calendar includes release of the Consumer Price Index. The Bureau of Labor Statistics' closely watched index for May is due out Friday, along with release of the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index. Counting back the days from Friday, the government's weekly employment report will be released as usual on Thursday, while Tuesday brings an update on consumer credit for April. In March, this gauge of consumer borrowing hit $52 billion. Rich Thomason reporting.
The first named storm of the Atlantic hurricane season is now heading for Bermuda after dumping rain on Florida, flooding a lot of roads. Alex reached tropical storm force after strengthening off Florida's east coast early today. The National Hurricane Center says its maximum sustained winds are 50 miles per hour, and it's centered about 600 miles west and southwest of Bermuda. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Where are your family's old film reels, videotapes, and photos? Are they sitting in dusty shoeboxes and neglected bins at risk of completely fading away? Digitizing your aging media with Legacy Box is the safe and easy way to preserve and pass down your family's legacy. Simply send your Legacy Box kit filled with old home movies and pictures. Legacy Box does the rest, converting your moments to DVD or digital. Legacy Box has been trusted by over 1 million families and has over 10,000 five-star reviews. Be your family's hero. Unlock the memories trapped on VHS, camcorder tapes, and 8mm reels. Experience the joy and excitement of rewatching your wedding day, baby's first steps, and Christmas mornings. Feel relief knowing all those cherished moments are safe from fires and water damage. The Legacy Box Father's Day event is happening now. Go to legacybox.com/lbox to save 50%. Legacy Box is great for your family or as a gift for dad. That's legacybox.com/lbox for 50% off. Legacybox.com/lbox.
A Russian news outlet says China is now barring Russia's airlines from flying foreign-owned jetliners into its airspace.
The report comes after President Vladimir Putin threw their ownership into doubt by allowing planes to be re-registered in Russia to avoid seizure under sanctions over Moscow's attack on Ukraine. The European Union banned the sale or lease of aircraft to Russian carriers in February. The news outlet RBK said China asked all foreign carriers last month to update ownership information and other details.
Correspondent Jeremy House. A massive fire at a container depot near a port city in southeastern Bangladesh has killed at least 50 people, including 9 firefighters. 100 more people have been hurt. The inferno at the BM Inland Container Depot, a Dutch-Bangladesh joint venture, broke out about midnight Saturday. News and analysis at townhall.com. A baby formula plant linked to contamination that triggered a nationwide supply shortage is now up and running again.
Abbott says its formula factory in Sturgis, Michigan, the largest in the country, is back in operation. It was shut down in February as Food and Drug Administration inspectors uncovered a host of violations, including bacterial contamination, a leaky roof, and lax safety protocols. The investigation began after four infants who consumed powdered formula from the plant came down with bacterial infections. Two of the babies died. The company maintains its products have not been directly linked to the infections, which involved different bacterial strains. The plant's reopening is expected to eventually improve supplies, but that could take weeks. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Today is Sunday, June the 5th, and some famous people are celebrating a birthday, including broadcast journalist Bill Moyers. He is 88 years old today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Okay, so let's finish out the DA here. This is a clip. I'm going to play a real quick short clip, and then we'll move on. I want to play this Dan Bongino thing. We got a bunch of stuff to cover here, so here we go.
Stephanie Bridget claims in a flyer littered on Reading doorstep she will, quote, continue
can't hear
to
it.
Protect our most vulnerable victims, including children. Apparently, West Valley students don't merit Bridget's protection. The school board verified the section of crime that Bridget failed to protect those kids. Sadly, last year, Bridget's Family Protection Unit lost 4 out of 6 child molestation jury trials, putting alleged child molesters back onto the streets. Shasta County voters, we need to elect a leader that protects our children.
Yeah, I mean, and we're playing this stuff because there's so much doubt and there's so many things in play with Stephanie Bridget, and she's got to go. And so vote Eric Jensen. I mean, that's my take on that.
Well,
so,
for the people that couldn't probably hear all of that, it's in regards to her not doing anything or moving forward with what's going on with
the
kids.
It's even worse than that. Really, what it comes down to is not only does she not do the things that she should do, she does the things she shouldn't do. When you end up having these cases that are brought before her and you watch the one-sided targeting that happens, it's absolutely anarcho-tyranny.
Right.
She needs
because,
to go. Right.
Well, there's other cases she sure moved quick on, huh?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Boom.
Boom,
baby, boom.
Boom. Yeah. Okay, so let's cover the Pecan Award that we gave, and we want to mention the fact that Pecan Patriot Educating Concerned Americans Now is now giving an annual Patriot of the Year Award. We gave it to Patrick Jones this last board meeting. But also what was interesting about that, I'm going to play the clip real quick. What was interesting about it is the fact that Mary Rickard tried to block it.
Not only that, if you get a chance, actually look at the video and watch her face.
Her and Joe's. I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty
telling. Yes, it is.
Here we go.
On behalf of the Board of Directors of Pecan, Patriots Educating Concerned Americans Now, I would like to make an announcement. We have decided to give an annual Patriot of the Year Award to a person in Shasta County whom we think has done the most to further the cause of liberty in our community. There were a lot of great patriots that we looked at this last year, and the choice was tough. Many were involved in this monumental effort to restore our county, and still are, taking back control where it belongs to we the people operating within a constitutional government. This movement is just the beginning, and the work will never truly be done. Our posterity will have to continue the fight for freedom as each generation has been tasked to do so since our founders stepped to the tyranny of Great Britain, which at the time was their own government. With that said, it is my honor and pleasure to award this symbol of appreciation to Patrick Henry Jones, Shasta County Supervisor, 2021 County Patriot of the Year.
I guess that just didn't make Channel 7 news. Oh, wow.
No.
Isn't it funny, you know, that anybody else would have been up there? But that's why we did it, too, is because Patrick doesn't get credit for anything from the news media.
All they want to do is slam him, period.
And then Mary Rickards then tries to block it to try to say that it had to be agendized in order to present it at the meeting.
At the open and open public comment is what I want to say.
Very important to notice, too. Who all was clapping there?
Yeah, exactly.
Just about the whole room.
Just about the whole room. That's my point, is that that should have made the news.
And just so the people are aware, there was very few people knew that this was going on.
Nobody, actually.
Well, there was like a handful of people.
There was a handful of people.
Actually, a handful of people that orchestrated this and looked at everything and came up with it.
Right. And we plan to do it every year. And I'll tell you what, I think that award was completely well-deserved. Patrick has done more in this county in the last year or two to help get back the government to the people than anybody else, any of these supervisors, any of the city council, any of these sitting elected officials. They've worked against everything that the people has done. So that's why they need to go. With that said, I want to move on to Dan Bongino here. Now, the reason I want to bring this up is because all this stupid mask thing,
We've been going over and over.
So here's Dan Bongino, and we've got Dr. Fauci admitting that it was never about the masks. It was always about control. Okay? Here we go. Here's Dan. Let's see.
Here's Fauci yesterday on Fox. You know, my producer, Sabrina, my Fox show, sent this to me right away. She's like, bingo, here you go. You've been saying this the whole time. Here's Fauci on Fox yesterday admitting that the federal government fighting for the mask mandate on planes, to get masks back on planes and transportation. Here's him admitting that this really doesn't have anything to do with masks, and it has everything to do with who has the power to tell you to wear a mask. This is just glorious. Check this out.
One of the issues, Neil, that I have articulated in the past, and I will in the future, it's less about mandates on the plane than it is about who has the right and the authority and the capability of making public health decisions. And I believe that the Department of Justice is operating on the principle that decisions that are public health decisions belong with the public health agency, in this case, the CDC. So it's more of a matter of principle of where the authority lies than it is about whether or not there's going to be a mandate on a plane or not.
There you go.
Yep.
So this is about control, because if you give them control over this, you've just ceded control over everything to do with healthcare. They will now tell you what to do, when to do it, how to do it. Do you think this whole thing was a coincidence based on the big Obamacare thing? They have to get a hold of your healthcare, because if they control the healthcare, they control you. Period. You'll do what you're told. And then the rest of the stuff of having these masks and wearing these masks all over, then they know who's in control. They don't want you to wear them because they have to. You think you have to. They want you to wear them because you want to. They want you to want to wear them, because then they control your mind. That's what this is all about. And all you have to do is look around in the marketplace. You can tell who's scared, who's willing to go along with any program that they're told to go along with, because it's for their own good. Even if there's no threat, even if there's no virus, even if there's nothing that's going to harm them, they're still wearing masks out there. They're wearing them in their freaking car by themselves. They're wearing while they're riding bikes. It's just absolutely ludicrous, but this is what they do. This is called mind control. And if you're wearing your stupid freaking mask, you know, in your car by yourself, you need your head examined.
Well, they're not going to stop there. They're just going to keep going. That's the real bad thing, and you give up all your freedoms and your liberties in the process.
The premise is that the government is always going to be operating in your best interest.
Wrong.
And historically, time after time after time after time, and it's not so. It's never been so. That's why we broke off from England. Government is always operating in the best interest of whoever controls it. That's why we had a separation of powers. That's why we had checks and balances. We never wanted to consolidate all the governmental power into any one body or any one person. Because once you do that, their own, agendas come to play, and pretty soon they're not, you think that the agenda of the World Health Organization is for the good of the poor people?
Right. And we have allowed it. I mean, we say public schools. It's not public schools. It's government schools.
That's right.
And there's a lot of, examples of that in our everyday life. It's not the people's. It's all government, or trying to be all government.
Why do they have to get rid of the founding fathers? I read this quote every single week. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. What do you think he's talking about? You think that they're trying to set up a government that is not going to be set up for the good of the government and the people running it, or for the good of the people? You had to be careful. It was dangerous. You had to bind it down with the chain of a constitution. It was as dangerous as fire out of control.
And what was its original purpose? Because that's what it has to come back to. Every single time you look at the government right now, is it serving its original legitimate purpose? And the answer is no.
No.
What it was originally founded for was to protect your negative rights, the rights of you and yourself against another person. That was it. That was it. There was nothing else to it. Your constitutional rights were to be protected. Your life, your liberty, your pursuit of happiness, your property. What the constitutional document laid out. That's it. That's all it comes down to. And is it serving that purpose today by handing out health care to everybody that wants it? By everybody that's low enough on the totem pole to get it. Is it handing out the food to everyone that's low enough on the totem pole to get it? Mm-hmm. Is that serving its purpose? Or is it moving away from that? And when we look at it, when everything else is rising up and everybody else is moving more and more into that lower tier, is it serving its purpose there?
Well, good question. And, the founders set up this constitutional republic to preserve freedom and liberty.
Yep.
And the rights of the people, not for the benefit of the people in power, and not for one special interest group over another. It was supposed to be a set of laws that everybody followed, not the rules for thee and not for me, which is what we're seeing now. If you're in a D.C. court and you're a conservative, you're going to get convicted. If you're in a D.C. court and you're a liberal, you're going to get acquitted.
Well, you look at that case with the Hillary lawyer just recently.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, so the guy goes through and, we can't charge him because the FBI wasn't actually a person that was conspiring against him. They were part of it. So we can't charge him on that basis. Give me a break. All right, so you're saying the FBI was complicit, so we can't get any type of justice? Cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's interesting that came out on the same day as the shooting, too.
Well, and I'll tell you what.
There's a lot of that going on with things being,
they're not trying to. Why haven't we tried hardening up the schools first? Why is it that we want to get rid of our rights before we want to get rid of the people and the mental illness and get rid of the access to our schools? There's a lot of ways that we don't want to have them locked down and we don't want it to seem like a prison. Oh, but you'd rather have them come in and get shot.
Right. And why don't they talk about how many of the schools that are hardened, if you want to use that term, how many shootings have been there versus ones that aren't? Mm-hmm. It's like 94%.
Well, and it just stinks. It stinks across the board about all these things that come out. So you have that shooting that happens, and then what happens up over here within the very next few days? We've got grocery outlet has a shooter in it. We've got this guy that ends up breaking down on the side of I-5. All of a sudden, a shooter over there. We had another shooting the other day with the guy that ended up crashing into, I think it was, Ashley Furniture Store.
Oh, yeah.
We had all this that all breaks out at the same time. Now there's another one that happened yesterday in Pennsylvania. 3 people are killed, 13 injured. I mean, does it sit well with people? There's something that's out there, and I'm not willing to say
100%.
Well, I
want to go back to the shooter in Texas. How did he get the money to buy those weapons?
Well, and these are the things. So
he supposedly had an argument with grandma over a phone bill.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, he really didn't have a job. So where did he get the money?
I heard he had a part-time job at
Wendy's,
upon the research.
And also, go to the background checks. He went through 3.
Mm-hmm.
He had 3 background checks. Okay.
And he was also known to the FBI. We've got videos of him carrying a dead bag of cats around from earlier on. Clearly a guy is completely 100% sane to be doing that.
Well, it could all been stopped by the school been hardening up. That's all. It all could have been stopped. So these
are greatly reduced.
These, you know, die in the wood, pinko commie, liberal, off the chart idiots about taking everybody's guns is about control, not protection.
$9,000. Two Daniel Defense firearms. All that ammunition and a pistol. We don't know what kind of pistol it was. Over $9,000 that he was able to come up with.
Well, we also know he was in contact with an FBI agent somewhere along the line. Now, I'm not trying to throw a bunch of conspiracy things out there. As much as I'm saying, there's some unusual circumstances behind these things that seem to crop up on almost every single one, and maybe that's just because the nature of the investigative reporting or the nature of the beast or whatever. But what I'm saying is, why don't we concentrate on hardening the schools? Why is that always a problem?
Right. And I'm saying they don't ever look at the other side, whether it's hardening the schools,
right,
how many people's lives are saved by guns, all of that stuff. They never talk about that. They never bring that into the news.
Now, this needs to be addressed, okay? So this is a headline for you. Texas DPD struggles to explain police waiting outside of the school during shooting. They allegedly thought there was no kids at risk. Here's another headline for you. Euclid mother who ran into school to save children threatened by police. Gomez reached out to a local judge who assured her she couldn't be charged with a probation violation or with obstruction of justice for doing media interviews. She was apparently held back from police for over an hour while wanting to run inside to rescue her children.
You know
she
who,
finally was able to and rescued two children.
Do you know who actually stopped the shooter?
A Border Patrol agent.
Getting a haircut.
The off-duty Border Patrol agent that went in there that wouldn't take no to an answer.
His wife
and his kids were involved in being in there. And he went in and he shot this guy, which should have happened right away. The guy never should have got onto the campus in the first place. They shouldn't have waited an hour. And a guy with a gun went in and took him out.
But if you had a hardened case, you would know more of what was going on, what the situation was, and how to deal with it in a faster and better way. I'm sorry, but it would.
And at that point, too, this is not an instance of, because they keep trying to say in the media and things like that, that, oh, law enforcement stopped him. At this point in time, this guy was not acting as law enforcement. He was acting as a concerned father because his wife and child were in that school.
They let him through because he had a badge with his gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason.
And so he ended up going in there by himself, rescuing his wife and daughter before turning back around, going in and finally eliminating the threat. But before he could do that, he was stopped for nearly an hour while these police waited outside doing nothing.
There you go. All right, let's move on.
No, hang on. We do have two good things that are coming out of this. Ohio legislator passes bill permitting educators to carry guns in schools, and also Texas now is going to be doing audits on security audits on campuses.
Every child
without anybody knowing.
Hang on a second. Oh, I know.
And I believe gun sales are up.
All right, that was my fault, sorry.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that was.
Well, that's the problem with TikTok that I hate, is it automatically fires off as soon as you go into it. You got to stop it from going off, and then I try to set them up so they're all ready to go, and I just hit the button. But if anything happens where it reloads, then boom, it automatically starts it again.
Well, so, one last thing on this, I just want to throw it out there. It's food for thought. Not saying anything else about it. Operation Crimson Mist that took place in Rwanda. Just research that. That's interesting about all these shootings. Go on.
All right. So I just want to report a little bit on Davos. Klaus Schwab and Dr. Evil and their
Klaus.
Yeah. So he took a cigarette. Dr. Schwab. And so what we have got here is we've got a reporter from Rebel News, and he's going to go up and ask the New York Times reporter who's in Davos.
What?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? So he's going to ask her what's going on, basically. And they, so this is a small clip. It's about 40 seconds. And so let's play it and let's hear it and then we'll comment afterwards. Well, in theory.
What?
Rebecca, how are you doing from the New York Times? Can I ask you a quick question? It's Avi from Rebel News. how is the public meant to believe that the New York Times is here to actually ask the tough questions when you're here as an invited guest? How are people meant to rely on the mainstream media?
If you wouldn't mind, we're just having if you could give us, thank you.
You don't want to explain to people why we should trust the mainstream media? No? Of course, no comment? There we go. So that's the point here, is in Davos you have the mainstream media that are not here to report the truth. They are here as part of the event, invited guests with their white name tags. Rebecca?
Yeah, and so they're part of it. And they're, so this guy Klaus and these guys have more money than, and the, you know, and they all, this all goes to the banking, all of this stuff. So you gotta realize what's going on here. This is a global thing. And anybody who can't see that this is a global thing is not looking. Because this great reset and these snakes that are involved in this are all slithering together in Davos.
All you gotta do is listen to their own words. You'll own nothing and you'll like it. Your freedoms, your ability to choose for yourself. It's over. That's the second command's own words. Your freedom of choice. It's over.
Right. They'll tell you everything you can and can't do.
So, going around the globe, let's go to Georgia. to DeKalb County, Georgia, where the primary voting machine malfunctions in DeKalb County, Georgia, and it comes up with 2,810 new votes. So, what's interesting about this is that the person that wanted the hand counting of the votes was the person that lost in the primary. Turns out she didn't lose after they hand counted the votes, and you just never guess which machines they were using.
Let me think.
I know. Sounds like two syllables, maybe three, depending on what school you went to. I mean, serious. Dominion. And so we've got our local elections officer loves Dominions.
Yep.
And it's more, and it's, you know, so there's multiple ways that this can be cheated on, you know. She's in charge of the machines right now. She's overseeing her own election. Okay. Now, do you trust these machines after seeing everything that's been happening across the country? They're now, you can Google this, or you can, I don't know if Google, but, you know, you might go to Brave or someplace else, because I don't Google anymore Google is evil. They even say on their wall, don't be evil. So I guess don't try to be evil.
No. It actually, their slogan used to be "Don't be evil," but sometime around 2016, they just removed that.
Yeah. So now it's
With this Georgia thing,
too high a bar.
Yeah. Did you see that the judge in Georgia that did the report and everything sealed the records and still not letting it out about the investigation of what really went on with the elections?
Well, you know,
Judge Amy Totenberg.
I'm a cynic at this point on all of it. Like, really?
Well, it's hard not to be a little cynical about all this. And, you know, so this is this morning. Fulton County, Georgia is calling an emergency meeting to recertify the election and the primary results there. So it's just like across the board. But they're talking about us cheating when, you know, you've got 2,000 mules. If you haven't watched it yet, the evidence is so irrefutable. Why doesn't it get brought up in the mainstream media? And Catherine Albrecht of True the Vote and Greg Phillips is going to be coming out in the next week or two with the NGO. Why is nobody being prosecuted? Why is nobody even investigating? Are they investigating? You know, they've got them on camera stuffing the ballot boxes from the own government cameras. That's not legal in any state.
With the own government evidence.
With their own government evidence. They took the cell phone records. All of this stuff. They got them cheating in the elections in the five swing states that decided the election.
And they are also talking about how in the future, you know, there's future attacks for this to happen and the machines can be hacked.
But you can get on Sirius and ask who won the election and Sirius will tell you. And of course that has to be true because Sirius said it, right?
So let's keep using the machines.
What's interesting too about this is on Rotten Tomatoes, you have an audience score of 100%.
I wonder if we asked Sirius what a woman is, if it would.
However, you also don't have any of the normal people that review. It has a no rating. Weird how that works.
It's just a big coinkydink.
And that reporter was talking about, it's even the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency has asked for that report, and this judge still isn't releasing the results that they did on the investigation in Georgia about the elections.
No, yeah. It's sealed.
Yeah.
It's just locked away.
So
it never happened.
So we know that the election was cheated in. We know that the numbers were overwhelming and enough to sway the election. We know that we got a sock puppet in the White House right now who can barely even keep up with, you know, his name, his ice cream breaks, and, you know,
you're
whether he's,
lamb chop,
you know, wiping his derriere. But, you know, the thing is that the guy, you know, we've got to get to these elections, and we got to get a hold of the county. We got to get these incumbents out of there and get new blood in. If you don't like the new blood, vote them out in the next election. But we got to get rid of these entrenched politics. You know, the many ticks that are, you know, poly meaning many and ticks meaning those blood-sucking animals that have been entrenched in our local county. You know, the ones that want them are the guys that are benefiting from them.
Well, yeah, they've been in there for so long. I mean, they've just been doing whatever they want, how they want, for a long time. You know, so, when it comes to the voting machines and voter ID, and, you know, they don't see any problem with that. And with that, I guess we are going to go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
You know what? Jimmy and High Res got it right. This is a war. This is a war on freedom. This is a war on children. This is a war on religion. This is a war on your ability to think. They want to control all information. They want to control what you think. And they're doing it all over the world, all over the world.
Faith over fear, oh God is always there. When you got faith over fear, He'll answer all your prayers. So go and tell all the people that the Lord will lead the way. I put faith over fear every day. I got God in my corner, there ain't a man that can stop me. I already gave my soul to Him, not the Illuminati. Now I got an army of people that's right beside me. Heaven over Hollywood, evil can never stop me. Media wants you nervous, they wanna make you feel worthless. The government is a circus, had to fight off these serpents just to get back to the surface. My soul is not for purchase, God's the only one I service, I'm His servant. Going through hardships in my darkest, I know He gon' take my hand when life get hard.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Little higher.
Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, community radio for the North State. What should we go? Let's go with the transparency concern that haunts the sheriff's office on January 18th. You know, the drones flying over, the FBI, all of that stuff. It was,
This was when there was a board of supervisors meeting, and we were outside because we got locked out.
And this is a big problem I have with, Sheriff Johnson. Not only was he appointed, but, when he was questioned on this stuff, he said that it was out there, all these people were out there to deter anything from happening. Well, if you wanted to deter things, would you have a drone monitoring everybody and everybody hiding that was in the FBI or the SWAT team? Or would you have a physical presence of sheriffs up there so that people would see that there was law enforcement there to make sure that nothing happened?
Yeah, usually you want people to see that the police are
all there. Other meetings, there's always been a few sheriffs there.
They didn't want the people out there.
Yeah. So the real deal was that they were actually inviting, and so that you got to wonder
wonder what really was their intention of doing what they did.
Well, and then you got Marxist meathead, whatever his name is. I don't want to mention his name because he likes attention. Is out there trying to provoke anybody into starting an incident. And
not just him; he had his.
Well, you got the crazy guys too, it's like Stephen King, the Cujo guy, the guy that wrote the book Cujo. You know, he's out there threatening everybody in town with, threatening their lives and nobody even cares anymore because it's just like, don't get on his email list, you'll have to block him or Facebook any of it because he goes off the deep end, mm-hmm. But that's okay. So they don't go after anybody who does an actual threat, so they try to provoke people who are just trying to get in the Board of Supervisors meeting to voice their opinions at the public comment.
Right.
I'm a little suspicious of the sheriff there.
Yeah, you think? We do have a caller on the line. We've got Lori. Good morning, Lori.
Hey, good morning. Everybody's there today.
Yeah. It's true.
Yay. Here we go.
You're covering a lot of bases.
I also want to encourage everybody to go to readbetweenthelines, .substack, and that's Martin Reed's column, to look at the transparency concerning the haunting of the sheriff's office, and then also your guys' organization. You might want to get a plug in for it.
Maybe. Rich was on earlier. He did a great job. Yeah, the whole thing with that Reed report is so phenomenal because it covers very specific other individuals that have kind of been terrorizing our community, and it's just, I think it prints 14 pages. Phenomenal work. I'm going to address real quickly the Friday newspaper had a Judy Flores full page ad, kind of like what Leonard Modi did on his election day, all the endorsements. This was about 450. I went through it line by line, and interesting to see people that are promoting Judy Flores for Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. We have Matt Pontes, Karen Ramstrom, Mary Rickert, Aaron Resner, both Bruce and Kimberly Ross, Donnell Ewert, and Joe Clemente. Okay, wow. There's a ton more. I'm just trying to say, if they somehow thought that how this whole COVID mess was handled and they were just doing exactly what the state did, that's substandard and it's just egregious. I'm stunned. You're talking about the whole True the Vote. If you want to look that up, I was at the Freedom Coalition meeting on Thursday. Richard was doing a training on doing election observation. It was like an hour and a half. Anyway, there was a woman there saying that this new release from TrueTheVote.org with Catherine Albright is even more stunning.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, too.
I always thought.
I haven't seen it yet, but that's what I've heard, too.
Yeah, I have it flagged. I got to go look it up. And I came across this quote, basically, that says, "What's the point of a constitution if all we need to do is violate it by keep declaring emergencies?"
Right.
Yeah.
Well, once they declare an emergency, all they're going to do is just keep declaring emergencies. That's the whole point of this
thing.
Exactly. It gets rid of our constitution in perpetuity because all they got to do is say, "Hey, we got the monkeypox," or "Hey, we got a money crisis."
The
stock market collapsed. Everything's an emergency.
That's right. And so this is why people need to understand that these rights that are being taken and stolen and, attempted to take all the time, I mean, this is just going to be nothing but a barracuda frenzy if we don't all start joining up. And I was in a prayer circle last night for some candidates, very powerful, And if you guys know, what did the Patrick Henry Jones Award from PCON say?
I posted it in the chat room. Basically,
what the actual words were?
Yeah, that's what it said. All that is required for evil to prosper is good men do nothing.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
And it also said, Patriot of the Year 2021. It was for last year, obviously. And we'll plan on giving another one for 2022 when we get there. Everybody, is a patriot out there. Hey, step up to the plate. Get it done.
Well, here's our tip line. Anonymous, welcome. If you want to call Richard and myself and give us any updates on anything, the tip line is 530-962-5168. And in closing, there's a Health Freedom Summit with a new film. I think it starts on Friday. I just registered, and it's called Between Peace and War, an insider's look at the People's Convoy. So I think it's all about those truckers and everything where it's just regular people that are saying, we're not going to do this. We're not doing this mass testing, vaccine mandates, no more. We're done.
Cool.
Okay. Russell, Lori, before you go. It said, for your dedicated service to the cause of liberty, was on the plaque as well.
There you go.
Really good. I love it. I was there. I had no idea it was happening.
Nobody did.
Yes, I did indeed see the face of Joe Clemente and Mary Rickert, that they thought that was just not using the time wisely. You can talk about the weather. You can talk about cooking recipes. You can talk about anything you want, and it doesn't have to be in the purview of the Board of Supervisors trying to fix something. People are sharing about how cartels are.
Here's the thing. Why would they care whether Patrick Jones got an award or not? Why would that bother them at all?
Seriously, what's the problem acknowledging someone who's standing alone half the time, not getting full credit, being just completely attacked? No, and it's been a rough time trying to get Leonard Modi out, and now look what we have. Ewert's out. Ramstrom's gone. Pontus quit. We're waiting for... drum roll. How about Mr. Magrini? Is it time for you to kind of pack up?
Yeah, I'm hoping.
I think so.
All right. Well, listen,
right,
we got to move on.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
Yeah, they didn't get upset when they were campaigning on the Board of Supervisors. I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a one-way sided street.
I know.
So let's go with the TikTok.
So I want to go ahead and cue this up.
All right.
And I want to cue this up by some of the recent stories that, as we've all been hearing about all these shootings, have actually been coming out over just this last week. So a North Carolina preschool teacher resigns after backlash for using flashcards featuring pregnant man to teach kids about colors. It's called Rainbow Families Flashcards in Preschool. We also have a Indiana town that canceled a drag show for kids after it was shared by libs of TikTok. We also have shocking scenes emerge from a child-friendly drag show in Dallas gay bar. We also have...
yeah, where they invited the kids in. It wasn't just a gay bar with a drag queen show. They actually invited, 5- and 6-year-olds in.
So
no problem.
Saturday, June 4th, 2022, was Drag the Kids to Pride, featuring DJ Charlie Paresh and Nicole O'Hara Monroe. And starts at 11 a.m.
Have you seen the
kids in a gay bar?
Have you seen the Happy Pride Month logo?
Oh, with the umbrella and the rainbow and two people.
It looks like a test pattern. It's I posted it because I was like, wow, this looks like a TV test pattern. I was like, I don't know. A lot of people might not know what a TV test pattern is because if you're not as old as I am, you might not have had TV that had test patterns,
Came on every morning.
They came on in the morning before the shows came on. And I swear to God, it looks just like a test pattern. You know, we're paused for our station identification or something. It's really
that's
weird.
We had the rainbow colors.
Yeah, it's really weird.
So we also had another one here. Illinois High School to implement race-based grading system. So I wanted to bring all of these articles up before we go into this clip from Matt Walsh's new documentary called What is a Woman? And what's interesting is during its debut, they claimed there was not a DDoS attack, which is a denial of service attack caused by people trying to block you by sending requests over and over again, because they had 1 million clicks on it.
All of the conservative channels seem to be getting these huge attacks.
Well, it's funny because either it was a denial of service attack or they had 1 million people per minute trying to click on this, and it was the biggest biggest documentary ever.
Well, and there's more to come out on this. I mean, the whole thing is about what's a woman. I know that Bongino covered a little bit this last week. I'm always trying to catch up because there's too much of a flow of information on our heads.
So not quite like this, because what he did is he actually set up an organization that sounded like one of the lefty organizations to go in and ask these questions.
Well, he was going by the parades. I seen him doing that. What's a woman? And like nobody. Well, it's like that. It's like, oh, you can't answer that one because there is no definition of a woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
But let's go ahead and play this real quick.
Whoa, we're having this conversation. I'm just saying that the people out there don't know. I mean,
no, what it is that this is the old. This is right out of 1984.
Supreme Court justice nominee couldn't. Well, she's not a biologist.
This is out of 1984. If they tell you it's this, and they won't make sure you believe it, even if you know it's not true, but you have to parrot whatever you're told, because what happens is after you blur the lines of meanings of words, then you can tell anybody anything. A patriot is not a patriot. A patriot is a terrorist, and a terrorist is a patriot, kind of like the Patriot Act. So what happens is the guys that are in power can pretty much, you know, say anything they want to enforce something that isn't even real, because it doesn't even have a definition.
Do you think the name meaning on that was coincidence?
Oh, the Patriot Act?
No. I mean, really think about it.
No, I know.
Before you go, I have to say real quick this morning, going on the ticker tape across the TV, California passes law. Bees are fish. Endangered species. Honest to God.
Bees are fish.
Bees are fish.
Huh.
Just to go to your point of changing the names.
What do I want to be?
I mean, California, as of today, they finally reached $10 a gallon down south. I mean, it's great.
See, this whole thing is about taking control and taking over. And they
use
all.
They got
idiots running around. Oh, we got to save the salmon or the smelt. And oh, if we all die of starvation and thirst, that's okay because it's for the good of the planet.
Let's think about it this way, guys. We just got to look at the bright side. As far as dumpster fires go, this is a really good one. It's super hot. It's kind of warm. It's just like what. It's one heck of a dumpster fire.
It's almost like my apartment in Malibu.
Okay,
here we go.
All right.
Need of medical transition, it generates $1.3 million to pharma. And we're believing a pharmaceutical company, Lupron, hormone blockers,
that would
reversible,
be
so they
facility.
Say. Well, the truth is that in 2003, Lupron was sued and deemed a criminal enterprise by the U.S. government. They paid the most fine of any pharmaceutical company at that time, $874 million, wrote a check.
Is Lupron chemical castration?
Yes. We're giving it to pedophiles, aren't we? We're giving it to people that are dying. And we're giving it to kids, telling them that they were born in the wrong body and it's completely safe.
One of the drugs used is Lupron, right? Which has actually been used to chemically castrate sex offenders?
You know what? I'm not sure that we should continue with this interview because it seems like it's going in a particular direction.
Well, you're a medical professional.
I am a medical professional.
So you don't want to talk about the drugs that you give to kids or?
Again, I'm a physician and I use medication. You're choosing exploitive words. Drugs I give to kids.
I'm choosing a
chemical
word that was in a dictionary.
That's not a correct term for puberty blocking.
I mean, I could like look it up on my phone, but I'm pretty sure if I looked it up. Like,
you can look it up on your phone.
It says medical definition, the administration of a drug to bring about a marked reduction in the body's production of androgens and especially testosterone.
And I'm saying, as a pediatrician who takes care of hundreds of these kids, when you use that terminology, you are being malignant and harmful.
I mean, there's...
Whoa.
It totally illustrates my point of what I just said about changing the meanings of words. Because then she can pretend she's in fairy tale land and fantasy island and go, well, it's not really that. I can say it's whatever I want it to say to suit the purpose that I need at the very moment. It's called situational ethics. But we don't want to bring that up because then I can't control you. That's what it's about. And these people are so,
And you will educate the people out there to know what we're really doing with our drugs.
And it's not just about that. What he said at the very beginning there, $1.3 million per child.
Yeah, I missed
that
because,
yeah.
That's what they're getting for getting him on into this agendized program. And it's so true. And then these guys, they are this whole, they're so virtuous. This is all for their own good. They're helping society, you know, and they're saving the planet and they're saving the children. You know, I'm pretty sure that's what the Nazis were thinking in frickin' Germany while they were, you know, telling the Jews to go to the soap, to pick up the soap in the shower. It's the same thing. All right, so we want to roll a little more? I didn't hear the clip. So we're this is all on Dave, by the way.
If anything happens,
it's Dave's fault. Dave's not here.
There are some who would say that giving chemical castration drugs to kids is malignant and harmful.
It's about the context of caring for a child and seeing the suffering that kids can have that have not been in affirmative home situations.
What do you say to the claim that, well, we have to do this for these kids, because if we don't, they'll kill themselves. They'll resort to drugs and self-harm.
A lot of them were hurting themselves. A lot of them were suicidal before they even discovered gender. That is never part of the discussion. And they say, what would you rather have, a living daughter or a dead son? If this is what the professionals are saying, it's terrible emotional blackmail.
There you go.
It's not done.
It's
not done.
You want me to play more?
Play more.
They got to be related to Dr. Evil.
Oh, so you want to come in and see my office because we have a very nice cat.
The next portion of this, folks, is a window into what they're trying to do here, and it's taking place currently in Canada.
Okay. Again, this is all Dave.
Hello?
Hey, is this...
This is, yes.
Hey, it's Matt Walsh. Where are you right now?
I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada right now.
Are you able to leave?
I'm not able to leave BC. I can't even go to another province in Canada right now. And it's because I'm technically out on bail.
What happened exactly?
Read it.
Well, I gotta have the screen big enough to read it here. Hold on, let me see, because it's like... pretty small, and you can't really enlarge TikTok. So,
if you do control and will,
but then the problem.
Every child that they
can. Yeah, see, that's the problem. It's so I can't really read it. Maybe we can.
Is transgender and in need of medical transition. It generates.
See, that's messing up. That's why I don't like TikTok, and I hate TikTok. I never watch TikTok. This is all about Dave and TikTok.
All Stop Dave's it. Fault.
I accept.
$1.3 million to pharma.
There we go. That was the beginning. It went kicked back.
I hate when it does.
So I don't know.
Why
don't you pull it up on your phone, and then we can move it out. I don't want to spend any time doing it on here, but
I can just get you to where you need to be.
All right.
Every child that they convince is.
Don't have any problem giving this drug to the children.
So I will go ahead and finish what it was actually going to say, and we'll just ad-lib it. But this guy in Canada had his daughter, and he was divorced from his wife. His daughter was 13 years old. They were going to put her on hormone blockers and start changing her gender without even notifying him, and he ended up getting notified last minute when they were about to do it. He ended up stopping it, and they said, you have 2 weeks to litigate this in court, and if not, we're moving forwards and we're changing her gender. And he said, yeah, that's not okay with me. We're not doing that. And then for that, he was arrested, imprisoned, charged $30,000. And that is the way it is there. If you misgender, mispronoun, anything like that, you're going to jail.
That's so screwy.
So he was trying to protect his daughter and having this done, and he's the one that got charged and thrown in jail.
Yes.
Over this. Okay.
And that was what they said over at Davos this last week. There was a girl there who's from America, mind you, one of the legislators here. And she was saying how we need to change the First Amendment and our online activities and have more serious repercussions for people who are doing hateful speech and things of this nature. Which, as we know, the term for hate speech is speech that they hate, obviously.
Well.
Wow.
Yeah, hate speech means the exact opposite of that now. Anything is hate
speech. Anything that I don't like that, that you say.
That's exactly right. Anything that you say that I don't want to hear.
Yeah. So 5 minutes.
I guess we have a caller.
Is that Ben? Good morning, Ben.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What you got this morning?
Well, a little off topic. I just wanted to kind of round out the program this morning. I want to congratulate everybody there at KCNR. Sunday mornings are always the best. Everything from Rick Hughes to Sovereign Minds.
Well, thanks. We appreciate it.
Yeah, giving the people a voice. Anyways, I'm a U.S. Marine and businessman here in Reading, born and raised. I really feel that we, the people, have an opportunity this Tuesday to make some changes at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it all starts. So I just wanted to round out the program by encouraging people to get out and vote. Get out there and make a difference. This is your chance right
Absolutely.
Now.
Yep. Absolutely. And my advice is to vote all the incumbents out. I think we got Eric Jensen for district attorney, Brian Caples for superintendent of schools, Kevin Cry for district one, Kellstrom for district five, Bob Holslinger for register of voters. And I think that the incumbents got to go. I mean, I just think that that's the way to do this right now. It's not about, preserving, this guy's better, this guy's worse. Oh, we need experience. No, what we need to do is get people in there, fresh blood that aren't entrenched in the system.
Yeah, you got that right. There's a handful of them. So just, look it over, make the right decision, get out there and cast your vote because now's the time.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
And we appreciate you calling in and giving us that reminder because it is very important on Tuesday.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate the call.
All right, very good. And if you're a Democrat, voter early, vote often. No.
You just go get a bunch of envelopes down at one of the local nonprofits.
The local cemetery?
Yeah, and just stuff the ballot box.
Stuff
Why
the
not?
Ballot
no,
boxes.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Or you have a Dominion.
Oh, wait, I can drive all over town.
In that case, June 3rd was National Donut Day. Just go back and get yourself another donut. Just forget about the whole thing.
Yeah, because the policies are so good for the Republic or for the Democrats, and the policies are so bad for the Republicans. Because they've been. Wait a minute. Hold on. Who's been reins for?
Yeah.
All right. Now
let me count my own ballots.
I do
Thank
have
you.
These two things that I need to get out there.
Better hurry
you
up.
Better. You
I
got
know.
4 okay. minutes.
Because I'm going to talk about the thousands of chickens that died in Wright County Farm. If you don't hurry up.
Hurry,
okay.
Go.
So U.S. has 10 island states that China is trying to make partnerships be able to. Port their boats and warships and things like that would actually put them in striking range. That's been going on over these last 2 weeks. One of them they've already succeeded in making deals with, which would put them in range with their ships to be able to hit places like Hawaii. It's one of the biggest things that they're doing right now. You also have rebel attacks that are happening in eastern Congo right now that are more than in a decade with over 1,000 troops waging war over there. The reason why that's super important, 70% of global production of cobalt, 40% of copper, and I think it's close to about 60% of tin. I'm just ad-libbing on that one. But
Kim Jong-il, mentally ill, shut off 8 test rockets this week.
So you look,
they're not driving us towards World War III here, are they?
You look at what's going on with gas prices. We're at $10 right now. They're saying that the rest of the country, by the end of August, some of the analysts are reporting, will be at $10, which means we're probably $15 or $20 here. But if you don't have cobalt and 70% of the production coming from the Congo, if you don't have that, you don't have lithium-ion batteries, so you don't even have the electric cars. Okay, go for yours.
All you got to do is crash the system and start a war, and guess what? We're in a perpetual emergency. You tell everybody what to do. That couldn't be the plan. Fire in Wright County. And thousands of chickens killed. I mean, this is
haven't we heard
Minnesota.
This before?
This
I mean, like with the beef and all that.
I mean, we're not under attack or anything. All these food processing plants and chickens and everything else being destroyed. Wright County egg producer is evaluating the damage left behind from a Saturday night fire. The Formsman Farm spokesman said they do not have a firm number yet, but he estimated at least tens of thousands of chickens were killed in this fire. This is not an isolated incident. accident. We've been seeing fire after fire.
Plane crashes.
All seem to be targeting.
Food supply.
A couple in a row, maybe. You know, when you start hitting five or six, all of a sudden you just
now it's up to like 30.
Now we're up like 23, 24, 25. I don't know what the count is.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something going on here that we need to pay attention to. Store food. Get ready. It's going to get ugly before it gets better. Vote on Tuesday, and
yes,
we'll talk to you
the
next week.
Take your ballot in. Do not put it in the mailbox.
All gun control is racist.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
I am just a simple man, working with my hands. Oh, believe me.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.